Well, it's lovely being back here. We've settled into Borden's. Everything's great. House is okay. Builders are still outside, so it's great. I chat to them most days, but they're moving on soon. Church is going well. There's only about 40 of us there. That's all there is, but it's a new town, so we're praying and we're just trying to reach out to others in the community. But it has been a great, great time. We've got such fond memories of being here amongst you. And we still just love you so much. We thank you for the input you've had into our lives and the effect you had on me and Jill. We just praise God for you. And we still remember you in our prayers. I wouldn't say every day, but occasionally we do remember you, honestly, because you're special to us. You're part of our walk with Christ. So it's just been a lovely, lovely time. If I had a friend who was with me today, because I wanted them to see what Christianity was about, what church life was about, I think they may go away with something like this, because we went to church this morning, and after church we had like a bring and share lunch. It was great. Then Peter and Fleur, once they knew that Jill and I was going to be here, said, "Oh, would you like to come over? We'll get the house group together and we'll have afternoon tea." So we have afternoon tea, and that's great. Then I come to church this evening, and then we got coffee and cakes. So, I mean, people could have a slightly wrong, different view to what we'd want to give them. So what difference has Christianity made in your life? Oh, I gained another 3 stone. Okay, what we're going to look at this evening, just coming to the end, so this is now the close of your time of prayer, and I know you've been looking at Elijah mainly, okay, and the passage I've been given is in Matthew 21, verses 1 to 17. We haven't read that, so I really ought to, shouldn't I? This is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we know that this is start of the week of Passion, or Passion Week. So Matthew 21, verses 1 to 17. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them. He will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet: "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers." So much of what Jesus did and said was to fulfill prophecy. And this was one of those occasions. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem was prophesied, it was prophesied in Zechariah. In chapter 9 and verse 9, we read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. What is prophesied in Zechariah, we know actually happened when Jesus came to Jerusalem that Palm Sunday. Jesus receives honour and praise from the people as they shout and sing. And we read that in Matthew, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem marks the start of what we call the week of Passion. They didn't maybe know it at the time, but this was the beginning of a new era for the whole of mankind and was the fulfillment of numerous prophecies throughout the Old Testament. The whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth was to restore man in relationship with God. Now, for the Israelites, to meet with God, to be with God, to be in the presence of God, for them, they went to the temple at Jerusalem. And Jesus is fully aware of how special the temple is, and Jesus honours what's sacred. Now, the temple area was also known as the court of the Gentiles. You see it in the bottom, this sort of section here. Yep. So, court of the Gentiles, it was a large outside area where non-Jews, also known as Gentiles, could worship God and pray. And on no account were they ever allowed into the temple itself. They could stay out here, they couldn't go in there. Jesus goes to the temple, that most holy place where the Israelites come to offer sacrifices and to worship God. Jesus comes to the temple and he's appalled at what he finds there. And what Jesus does is a messianic act. In his actions, he's pointing to a purified worship that's going to come from God's people. That's what he was doing. So let's not pass over too quickly that prophetic word from Zechariah. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. In the passage here in Matthew 21, we see Jesus, as he enters a temple area, his righteousness confronts and condemns the traders. In the same way that light confronts darkness, and you cannot help but see it, you can't help but notice it. Jesus drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturns the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. He says, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it into a den of robbers. And it was expected for the Jews that provision should be made for both the poor and for those travelling to Jerusalem, those travelling a long distance. They should be able to buy their offerings for sacrifice here at Jerusalem. So I ask, when did the market traders start operating in the temple courts? What was intended as a ministry, a service to those who needed it, once very special, holy, set apart, had degenerated into sheer exploitation and greed? Did someone agree to this? Or did it just slowly happen? Was it because there's a lack of care, lack of attention to what is sacred? Well, I'm just going to do a little illustration now, and this is called Who Let the Dog In? Jill has two brothers, one of them, well, I won't say which one, because I don't want to embarrass him. One of Jill's brothers, many years ago, he'd left school, started work, and sometimes he would come home later than the rest of the family did, and so had his meal on his own. And quite often he would like to get his meal, put it in the microwave, and go and sit in the lounge and watch television. Nothing wrong with that. That's what he did. And also in the same room was this lovely black Labrador. Ah, he's nice. And there's one particular day, Nigel's in there and he's sat in his armchair watching TV. But you know what's coming. Okay. And the dog comes in, sees Nigel there, and just puts his head just on his foot. Big sloppy mouth. And Nigel says, oh, hello, Lucky. He is lucky. Lucky to be alive. And then the dog, he then moves his head up and sort of against his lap. And then the dog puts his head on his knee. And then the dog slides his head up his lap. And then, pow, nicks his dinner. One gulp and it's gone. One gulp and it's gone. Because someone let the dog in. Someone allowed him in thinking it'll be all right. Ah, he won't do any harm. I use that illustration to say, what is it in your life that should not be there? What is it that has violated that which was a special and precious time with God? What are the things that just need to be dealt with and thrown out? You know they shouldn't be there. Who let the dog in? In 1 Corinthians, we read, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's what's happened. Now, prophetic praying is also purposely praying. And in 1 Kings and chapter 8, we read of the account of Solomon, prayer of dedication of the temple. And this is his prayer. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays towards this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you as do your own people, Israel. Also, Isaiah prophesies salvation for others who are not Israelites, who are foreigners, also Gentiles. God speaks through Isaiah so that people know God's intention, his heart for foreigners. And you see this in Isaiah chapter 56, verses 6 to 7. This is what he says. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these will I bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." What Solomon prayed and Isaiah prophesied very clearly is this: all nations are welcome. All people. No one need be excluded. Now that's the heart of God, which Jesus rigorously defends and demonstrates in his actions at the temple. When he says, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you're making it into a den of robbers." So, why should we pray? If God is sovereign and knows everything, why do we need to pray? Do my prayers really matter all that much? Isn't God going to do what he wants to anyway? Do you know what? Most people, even if only subconsciously, believe just that. But the proof is in their prayer life, or lack of it. Do your prayers matter? Definitely yes. During the week, I had the privilege of attending a meeting with other ministers in Borden. And there's a couple of the local Anglican churches represented there, amongst others. And they were saying how they'd had times of prayer. They just thought, "Oh, let's have time of getting together as a church and pray." And one of the ministers says, these are his words, "I was shocked at how many people came. Round about 50% of my congregation came to a prayer meeting." That's wonderful news. One of Jill's brothers had cancer of the stomach. He's told, "Unless you have an operation, we give you 3 months, 4 months to live." Obviously, it came as a shock to him and to his wife. Jim, he goes to a church, shared it with the minister there, and the church got together and prayed every Sunday morning before their meeting. Jim went through the operation. He's out the other side. He still needs some chemotherapy, but he's alive. He's doing well. He's not well, but he's in good spirits. And the doctors are pleased with the progress. There's still some more things to do. But the church prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And God has answered them. So now, every Sunday morning, they pray for the sick before the meeting. That's what's happened. One guy is ill, the church get together and pray every week. Now it's become a regular thing. It's brilliant. And I know that, I don't know if you're aware, you probably are, 24/7 prayer things. Yeah, you heard of the organisation 24/7 prayer? There's loads and loads of churches getting involved. You yourself, you've had times of prayer. Up and down this land, people are praying. Now, this thrills me, because if you look at church history, there's never been a revival happening unless there's been a people on their knees praying to God. Prayer matters. Prayer changes things. Your prayers are heard by Almighty God. That is wonderful news, isn't it? I find it fantastic. In Deuteronomy, I'll go back to the Old Testament now, just change track slightly. We read, "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord is near us whenever we pray to him?" Is that your experience? Yes, John, it is. Of course it is. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. God's ear is attentive to your prayers. Why? Because Jesus loves you. Because you put your faith in Jesus. Because you're a child of the living God. God's ears are attentive to your prayers. It's brilliant, isn't it? I find it exciting. Jesus prayed regularly. Prayer was a vital part of his life. It was vital because it was a close, intimate time with Almighty God. And it's the same for us. Sometimes we can just know that God is there. Prayer brings us into a close communion with God. When you pray, sometimes you don't feel like God is there. Sometimes you think, I'm just like talking to a brick wall. I understand that. But I'm going to say, don't give up. Pray and pray and pray until you know God is there. Pray until you break through to heaven itself, till you know it. And it's wonderful. I guarantee if you desire to meet with God, God will meet with you. Guarantee it. You draw near to God, God comes running to you. Because he's a God of love. And he loves you immensely. He loves you intensely. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon says this about prayer. Do not think your prayer will not be heard by God. God not only hears our prayers, but he also loves to hear them. All right? He loves to hear them. Prayer is the never-failing resort of the Christian in all circumstances and is a powerful weapon. Prayer is never futile. Prayer is an open door which no one can shut. There is never a wrong time to pray. It is never out of season. In the dead of the night, in the business of the day, whatever state or condition you are in, your covenant God will welcome your prayer and answer it. That's what Spurgeon said. It must be true. Prayer does change things. Neighborhoods change. People come to know Jesus through your prayers. I don't forget, remember we had a mission here 2 or 3 years ago. We had a team came, and prior to them coming, you decided, let's do some prayer walking. See, Trish? They must have heard it from you, Trish, I think. Okay, so we did prayer walking around the area. Many of you got involved in that, seriously. When the team came, they said, we know these streets have been prayed for. When we went knocking on doors, those of you did, we did, didn't we? We went knocking on the doors, just saying hello to people, seeing people's needs, do you need prayer for anything? I mean, people were just so open. Open to receive the gospel, open to receive prayer. And they said, it was down to you who did the prayer walking. Prayer does make a difference. When you pray, broken relationships can be restored. Marriages can be saved. The sick are healed. Time and time again, we hear of such testimonies. Jeremiah says, call to me and I will answer you. This is what God says. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Call to me, says God, and I will answer you. In Isaiah, O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Now, what about when things don't quite go right? Do you ever get things go wrong in your life? I do on occasions. Yeah, just like everyone else. Things go wrong. Things happen. Huh. What about this? Okay. Do we believe this scripture? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now, I can say that on a day when everything's going right. But when things go wrong, do I still really believe this? We was on holiday earlier on this year. We go away in the springtime, and when it's cold and wet, we went to Tenerife. It was great, and Jill and I. And my brother, Noel, and his wife, Coral, came and joined us. We had a wonderful time there. We generally start off in the morning, we'd have breakfast, and we were able to pray together, so we did. I mean, I'm used to praying with my brother Noel. It goes back years. Great time. So we just pray together. And then afterwards, just do whatever you want to. Jill and Coral went down to the local shop, get some stuff for lunch, because Noel and I, we were busy, see? Sunbathing. So, anyway, Jill and Coral went down to the local supermarket, just a few hundred yards away, whatever. And Coral's there at the till, and Coral insisted, no, I'm paying today, Jill. So gets all this stuff, pays her money, picks up her shopping and leaves. Gets back to the apartment where we're staying. She hasn't got a purse. It's gone. Quickly dashes back to the supermarket. No, everyone denies anything. And then Coral and Jill remember there's a guy behind. Just felt he was a bit pushy and basically her purse was stolen. Like, not good. Credit card, bank card, 200 euros. So, not good. And Coral was, she was beating herself up a bit, and then having talked about things and one thing and another, the next morning, we're having our prayer time, and Coral prays for the person who stole her purse. She says, God, I believe that all things work together for good. I believe this. I believe you're a God who's in every action of my life. I don't like what's happened. In fact, he didn't steal it from me. I've gifted it to him. God, meet his need, have mercy upon him, and bless whatever he needs for today. I pray, oh God, he needed money for his family. I pray that, God. And that was an attitude. And it spoke deeply to me, because I'm thinking, I don't know, I could quite be as gracious as that Coral. I'd be really fuming. But she able to, no, God, over to you. And it really, it didn't bother her one bit afterwards. Fantastic. When we pray, because Jesus says, pray a blessing on those who persecute. Pray a blessing on them. Those who harm, pray a blessing on them. And she did. Some of your testimonies were amazing. We've said about prayer walking. Do it. Also, that daily prayer rota which Pete sends out is fantastic. So you're praying for all of the church. But now, you may not be able to do it every day. Pick it up whenever you can do. But if you're not part of that, I do encourage you. Have a word with Pete. He'll help you get it onto your laptop or your phone or whatever. It's brilliant. What a fantastic way. So the whole church is covered. Corinne, thanks for sharing that psalm. You got us somewhere. You're wanting time with God. Brilliant. Also in that psalm, you know what thrills me? As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you, says the Lord. I think wonderful. Thanks, Corinne. Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. Really, really helpful. Pete sat in the car. We can pray anytime. Now, if you are driving your car and praying, I say, keep your eyes open, please. All right, but we can pray anywhere. Make sure we do. Let's just do it. Satan doesn't want you to pray. Doesn't want you to. And Pete saying, God is worth our praises and adoration. In our prayer time, let's praise him. Let's worship him. Thanks for sharing that about the children. Where are you? I can't. Oh, yeah, yeah, thank you very much. That was brilliant. Didn't you like that? 7 to 11-year-olds. What is God's favourite thing about you? That's brilliant, isn't it? God, I think it's wonderful. Childlike faith, no inhibitions. Let's be like that. Let's be like that and just enjoy the presence of God. That's what he wants. That's what God wants. Now, we can talk about prayer. In fact, I can read so many books on prayer. It's wonderful, just magnificent. But that's not prayer. Prayer is when you talk to God. And I believe what God wants from you more than anything else is your time. It's you. God wants to hear from you. He wants to. We're busy doing all sorts. I know we are. And it's one of the hardest things for us to do is to set aside time and pray. But we should do. We need to. In 2 Chronicles, you know this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God answers prayers. God answers your prayers. I'd suggest let's start by just repenting, saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me for the things I've done today. Or if you're praying in the morning, God, the things I did yesterday, whatever. Then spend some time just praise, worship, adoration. Tell God how wonderful he is. What is it you like about God? What is it you preach about God? What is it you remember? His goodness, his faithfulness. Just worship and adore him. Make sure you've got time just to enjoy his presence. Someone said just about being quiet. And it's not often we're quiet, are we? There's so many things to do and that phone. Let's just be still and be quiet and just enjoy his presence. Pray for your family. Please, please. I know you will. Pray for your family. Pray for the children. Pray for your grandchildren. Even if you haven't got them yet, pray for your grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren. I believe my grandparents and great-grandparents prayed for the likes of me. I believe it. I know they did. And look at what's happened. You can tell I needed prayer, see? Honestly, pray for your children. Pray for future generations. Pray for this church. Pray for future generations in this church. Who's going to be the next elders? Pray. Come on, let's pray. Who's going to be the next leaders? How many ministers do we need? We're going to need a lot. We're going to. Pray. Pray for the teenagers, all that are going through these days. Honestly, I think, oh God, I thank you for when I was born. It seemed a lot easier. It seemed a lot simpler. I think the pressures they're under, I think it's horrendous. Let's pray for our teenagers. Pray for the schools. Pray for the colleges, the universities. Pray for them. Let's pray for future leaders. Who's going to be next prime minister? Put your name forward. Okay. But you know what? Seriously, let's pray for future generations. Let's pray for revival. God, have mercy on our nation. Please, oh God, we need you. And we do, don't we? What a state we're in at times. God, have mercy on our government. Please, for all the MPs, let's pray for, I don't care what party you're in, just pray for our nation. Our nation needs Jesus Christ. Our nation needs God Almighty. Our nation needs a move of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray it in. When Pete was saying about Elijah, when he prayed for the rain, you know when he goes up to the mountain, sends his servant up to the mountain 7 times, go up there, And he prayed because God had told him what was going to happen earlier. And I believe Elijah prayed it until it happened. That's what. He prays until it happens. Don't give up. Who is it you laid on your heart to be born again? Pray and don't give up. My mum prayed for my dad for over 40 years before he became a Christian. Pray and don't give up. But let's pray. Because God hears your prayers. You can make a difference. Call out to God and ask him. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. God, we thank you, O Lord. When we call out to you, you almighty God, hear us and you answer us, O God. God, we thank you. We praise you for all that you mean to us. God, your faithfulness. God, your love. You are magnificent. You are awesome in all of your ways. I pray now, O God, your blessing upon my dear friends here, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, Lord, your blessing upon this church, part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I pray, O God, they know of your presence in increasing measure. And know, they know without a shadow of a doubt, you are there and will hear and answer their prayers. Amen.